how would a score you write today differ from one you wrote, oh, let's say 10, 15 years ago?
Well, I try to absorb the same information that's in the script and in comments. The man in charge of communicating his wishes to me might suggest, and whatever the subject matter is, it doesn't really, I don't know that I would score it any differently. There might be different instrumentation.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a contemporary setting, you know, it'd be a whole other thing than doing something dramatic or something terrifying and deadly, so to speak, or a dramatic thing, you know, a period piece. I did a score for Disney called The Liberators,
mm-hmm.
where I emulated my idol, my admiration for Aaron Copland.
Mm-hmm.
He was my mentor and my teacher for 4 summers at Tanglewood. So I was asked to do the score in the style of Aaron Copland, and I had the best time. So I'm pretty, that's the point, I'm kind of schizophrenic, not just versatile. Musically, I can emulate any kind of music, including avant-garde serial music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm working on a piece now for a chamber ensemble in Europe that are from Italy, and consequently, they're called the Italian Saxophone Quartet. So I've had a great deal of experience and curiosity.
So, in your vast body of work, is there anything that you're specifically or particularly proud of, rather?
I hesitate because it would have to invite another question which just delays the answer. I would have to say it depends on what it was for and what the purpose of it was.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you were to ask me who my favorite composer was, I would have to say, for what? For what kind of writing?
Mm.
I have referred to many of my heroes along the way,
mm-hmm.
and some that weren't my heroes, as reference point. When I listen to music, it generally is associated, I want to absorb what his point or her point of view was, and see if I can't become familiar with it enough to absorb it. Not so that I can quote it necessarily, but just be exposed to it enough so that it's not new to me, so that I have some place in my catalog of information, so that I can talk intelligently about it, that I can understand the language, and it can be Ligeti or any of the contemporary guys.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a problem. I don't know how to answer the question, really. Sorry.
Okay. Well, you've mentioned the fact that you teach. What kind of advice would you give to up-and-coming composers?
In the class that I give, I know there are a couple of things that I can't do. I can't alter or add or take away to their essential talent, their individual personal talent.
Mm-hmm.
I can help them expand their own desire to become film composers by stressing things that are not stressed at Juilliard or other academies of music. I can point out the mechanics of how film works and what are the priorities. It certainly isn't your concerto, in quotes. Your concerto is one thing. Writing for film is a whole other thing that involves recognizing
mm-hmm.
that it's a collaborative effort and giving evidences of it from my own experience and from observing how they handle assignments. Like if I were to give them a still picture of a little girl holding a cat,
mm-hmm.
a little kitten. And she's smiling, she's got pigtails on, and it's a sweet, touching thing. And it has to be represented by a theme. Write a little tune for me that you would apply to what you see, not from your perspective. It's not a little girl who's going to grow up and be a very sexy, gorgeous creature, or the cat is probably going to... You know, no conjecture. Mm-hmm. What do you see? Challenges that also include understanding that seconds are not the issue. We're talking about frames of film, of which there are 1,440 that go through that camera in 1 minute.
Mm-hmm.
And there are 8 sections that can be also divided in each of those frames, the sprocket holes and the distance between those 8 sprocket holes. So that time is in milliseconds. And now with electronics, we can make music literally zero and grow at a proportion that we design from nothing, actually nothing, no sound, to the beginning of some audio signal. And other issues that have to do with the psychology of what this is all about, and also, most important, simple. Don't write themes unless they can be referred to in fragments. In fragments of 3 or 4 notes that can accommodate a second and 3/4, or roughly that, but precisely whatever the number is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just another way of looking at art, knowing that there are many people that have got something to say, and they're all gifted and bright as can be at what they do, otherwise they wouldn't be doing it. It's not necessarily true with the head of the studio or the lawyers, or because there's a lot of latitude for loopholes of one kind or another in the business of it, the business of music. And I don't necessarily think it's going to be helpful to anybody to know that there are loopholes and ways for administrative people, i.e. what's happened with stocks and the heavyweights that run the stock market,
mm-hmm.
or major companies. I'm talking about the technicians who have been trained, including the performers, the actors, and the guys in the studio that make the music, and the guys who design the costumes and the sets. They're all pretty much well-disciplined and well-trained.
Mm-hmm.
And the same dynamic is present. They want to continue to work at this field. So they make their own adjustments, not loopholes, but adjustments and compromises to accommodate the head of the studio, who is not interested in anything other than the fact that it may make some money for the studio,
right.
or may lose money, therefore the project doesn't happen. Where money is the heart of it. And, of course, money is the motivator for so much of the greed that, in our own way, each of us seem obsessed by. We all want more. We all seem to be... transfixed with the notion that the grass is always greener in the other guy's backyard,
mm-hmm.
but maybe it's because he takes a little better care of his lawn than you do. These are things that I've learned over the years. I was not willing to accept them, but I find now that's one of the things that I would love to be able to say that I'm not guilty of either. the need for more. I never got what I wanted for Christmas, which was more.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that if you can stay in the arts, whatever that art might be, because you love to do it in spite of the adjustments along the way, you're a lucky man, and I'm a good representative of that.
I'm glad that that you were able to take the time today to impart your knowledge of your experiences in the TV industry.
Well, I'm very happy about our relationship, and I hope it continues. And I hope indeed that you continue to do what you do, because I don't ever remember having an interview that I felt so deeply was the most thorough interview I've ever had. And I appreciate more than I can say the fact that you've taken time to do some homework about Joe Harnell.